This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2019, held at Faith Builders from July 29 through August 2.
Good morning. We've been talking about a number of texts, and I'd just encourage you to get one of the four that we've covered so far, get it in your mind, and because I'm going to ask you to call it out here in just a moment. So one of the four, maybe it's one that has been maybe the most significant for you, one where you said, that's something I really want to work on in my classroom. So have one of the four texts. I don't want you to be shy here. I'm going to count to three, and on three, you just shout out or say loudly the one you're thinking of. So, are you ready? You have one in your mind? Okay, one, two, three. Thank you. A question that I've received from some of you, the resources that I've been mentioning, are they available in the bookstore? And the answer is, I think so. Most of them ought to be. So, check with the bookstore for that. As teachers, we have the opportunity to create environments, classroom environments, healthy environments, environments that are rich with nutrients of growth, alive with interest and energy and invitation and possibility. And that's what we want, I think. We want that kind of environment, environments that you just can't hardly help but grow when you're present in that environment. Of course, classrooms, our classroom may be something else. This is an actual photo from the town of Denora in 1948, the year of, well, that's the story. Denora is a small town south of Pittsburgh. And in 1948, it had two mills, a zinc mill and a steel mill. The townspeople were used to the smog produced by these two mills, and so when they woke up, I believe it was a Monday or Tuesday morning, and there was this thick yellow blanket of smog, nobody was that concerned. They were used to this. One of the students at that time said that as he woke up and as he started breathing the smog, he said there was a burning sensation in his throat and eyes and nose, but again, he just thought it was normal. 4 days later, the fog is still there, and the townspeople, they're not feeling so well, they're hacking, coughing, and what had happened is that there was a weather inversion that was trapping a body of air just on top of the town. And it stayed there for an extended period of time. In fact, on the Saturday, then following this, the local high school was having a football game. And they said, you know, the teams were out there playing, but the smog was so thick that you couldn't even see the football moving. So the people in the stands, they were talking and they'd occasionally hear something, so they'd kind of applaud or shout or cheer or something, but and they said occasionally you'd catch the glimpse of a ball going through the air. But it was about halfway through the game when the announcer came on and said, "Stanley Sawa, go home. Go home now. Stanley Sawa, go home," that the crowd realized, you know what, something is going on here. Stanley, who was one of the star players on his team, heard the announcement and just walked off the field and ran home. And when he got home, his father had just died. Before the football game was over, 9 other people had died in Denora. The next day, on Saturday, 20 more people died. There were 8 doctors in this town, but all of them were too sick to make house calls. They finally decided to close the factories. The factory said, it's not because we're doing anything wrong or this is causing any problems, but we're going to close them anyway, just because. And so the death stopped, except there were, over the next month, there was about 50 more people who died from conditions contracted during those first couple days. There's a story of a poisonous environment. We want healthy, lush classroom cultures, but it's also possible to have classrooms that are more like Denora. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment, but just as an aside, there's quite a few of you that are young teachers here. And so you're just starting out on your journey, your lifelong journey of being a teacher. And I want to encourage you to start now to collect stories and quotes and stuff to use as a teacher. Start now to collect it and keep it and organize it so that you can use it throughout the coming years of teaching. For example, this story that I just told, I found in this book. It happened in Pennsylvania, and I got this at a yard sale maybe a year or so ago. And it has some great stories about Pennsylvania in it. Interestingly, the front cover is a picture of a Mennonite schoolroom with a Mennonite lady teacher there. And just, there's a story about that in here as well. So I got the book, and I was reading, and I come across this story. And I knew that from time to time I talk about school culture, organizational culture. And there was an example of a poisonous culture, so I copied that and put it into the file where I talk about culture so that it was available to me there. Just if you start now collecting, organizing, using, you can imagine the wealth of material you'll have available to you 30 years from now. Now back to classroom culture. We've been thinking together about What texts from Scripture help us to define what a healthy, a flourishing classroom is emphasizing. And the six texts that we're looking at, when written on our hearts, first of all, and then integrated into the fabric of our classrooms, move us toward a flourishing culture. So let's go ahead and review now. Let's just say together the four texts we have so far. So together, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You shall love the Lord. The Lord is one. The earth is the Lord's. We're ready for our fifth text. And I want us to return to the time when Jesus was asked to do what we've been doing here, when he was asked to distill all of the law into the most basic fundamental command. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Here's one of our texts. And I wanted you just to see that he hasn't really answered the question yet. Isn't it fascinating that when the scribe asks him what commandment is most important, the first thing out of his mouth is, "The Lord is one," which is at least doesn't seem like a commandment to us. But he wants that worldview framework to be in place before he gives the commandment. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second of some of our texts. And then he says, the second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." So our fifth text for teachers, you shall love your neighbor. This is a theme that we find throughout the New Testament. This is a theme we grew up hearing over and over again. And I want to consider, just to remind ourselves, it's like the one story I heard of a revival service in which the minister had called for the congregation, if there's anyone who needs to come forward and confess anything, and as he did that, one person came up to the front and was just crying out audibly and says, "Fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord." And someone in the back of the congregation said, "Don't do it, Lord, she leaks." Now, that's a bit the way we all are. We leak, and so that's why we need to be reminded of some of these texts and some of these fundamental realities. So a couple other passages to help us think about loving our neighbor. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. There's a direct message here for you and I. Notice the language, prophetic powers, the ability to articulate truth convincingly, meaningfully, understand, have knowledge. That's the language of educators. And we're reminded here that if those capabilities, which are useful, important, but if those capabilities are not directed toward God and toward others, then we're wasting our time at best. It's not enough to be good at teaching. It's not enough to be good at public speaking. There must be love. Another passage that I think we should find convicting as educators, Philippians 2, 3-4, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition, thinking that my agenda is more important than your agenda. Vain conceit, I'm more valuable than you. I'm better than you. I know more than you. It seems like we have this tendency to try to find some way that we're better than everyone else.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.